Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Artist First World Radio Network, home of the best new music you've never heard and home of the best new talk shows you need to hear. Please don't forget to visit our archives page at www.artistfirst.com, where you can hear all our past shows for free and on demand. You are tuning into the Chit Chat Cafe. This show airs every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For more information about this show and listen to past shows for free, please visit artistfirst.com/chitchat.htm. And don't forget to follow Artist First on Twitter. You can find us under the Twitter handle at artist_first. Now here are your hosts of Chit Chat Cafe, Lisa, Dee, and Betty Ann.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Chit Chat Cafe. We're airing live from Artist First World Radio, and we have an outstanding show for you tonight. We're so proud of our guests. We have a psychic lawyer named Mark Anthony will be our guest, and we have the gorgeous Jacqueline Smith. I guess you remember her from when she was a Charlie's Angel. Girls, how about Are we cool or what?
An amazing show. An amazing show. Oh, we've had a lot of excitement this week on the local end. Lisa, yes.
you
have Molly back.
Why don't you talk about your ordeal first?
Oh, please. It's the wonderful world of dogs, can I tell you? I have, it was my son's dog. He is this gorgeous French bulldog mix. And he actually was an abused puppy rescued by my dog. My son, rather. And he is just a love. He is just a love. But he had a startle trigger, which when he's sleeping, a loud noise or a quick move, he would jump. Well, lo and behold, after 2 years, guess who got bit by the dog? So that was 9 hours in emergency, not because of anything of the bite, 9 hours of waiting to be seen in emergency. And then 15 stitches later, I looked like a bad version of, something, Angelina Jolie, who has the gorgeous lips, and I had the other lip. So, I know.
It's a good war story to talk about.
It's a great war story, but I got to tell you, nothing made me stop talking the entire time. So, I mean, I don't know what could ever make me stop talking. But that was my week with an ice pack on for 3 days. And, but they say any form of Jolie is hot, make it work. Okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's how it is. How about you, Lise? What's going on?
Right? You got the big lips. Want them.
You know what? The only thing is maybe we got to match the top lip a little bit more. Maybe it's my little excuse, you know? Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? Oh, Lisa, we were all in a panic last night.
Yep. Our dog, Molly, she's a Bichon. She's going to be 10 in October. She's a rescue. We rescued her 4 years ago from the breeder who just used her for making puppies. It was a disgrace. She had like 5 litters in like 4 years. And she, and then when they were done with her, they just were going to get rid of her. So we took her. And she's been like a princess. She's my daughter, who's 16. It's her baby. I mean, she carries her around like a baby. She sleeps with her. And Molly decided to go take a little walk when she went out to pee-pee yesterday. Bus took a walk and never came back. Oh, my God.
Oh, my.
The dog was gone for, we after about 24 hours, we found out where she was. A friend of mine put an ad on Craigslist, and someone saw that in addition to a Facebook posting and put the two and two together, and the lady was nice enough to get involved, to call me, and we were all reunited this afternoon. But it's horrible, because I was thinking maybe she got eaten by a hawk, or we know she didn't get run over by a car, because we would drive around on the main roads, and we didn't see a dead dog, thank God.
Oh, my God, please.
But I'm thinking all of them, my mother. Oh, my God, I bet they took her to use bait
Did she ever wander off before?
Never. A couple times, maybe once in a while, she'll take like a little walk up the street, but that's rare.
They are part of the family. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, the three of us know that so well. And so many of our listeners know that, you know, our fuzzy family, as I call them, you know, I like them better than my kids sometimes.
Well, what was funny is all of us were getting on each other's nerves because we were all so stressed out. We're all screaming at each other. We're all getting mad at each other. You know, you don't know what to do with yourself
I know.
When you're going through this trauma. And it was
it was trauma.
My daughter was crying. She had the puffy eyes, and you like you couldn't even see her eyes. It was awful.
I'm sure. Oh, I gotta tell you, they're just like kids.
They are.
Exactly.
They're just. How excited are we for the show tonight with the guests that we have on?
Very, very excited. Should we get started? Should we introduce our first guest?
This is crazy amazing what we're going to be doing tonight. And starts off with the first guest. Lise, tell us about this.
Or Betty Ann. Betty Ann knows all
about
this.
I will. And he's been listening to our chitter-chatter for
the
last couple
of
minutes. Well, tonight we have a guest with a special gift. He can communicate with spirits and practice law at the same time. I'd like to welcome Mark Anthony, the psychic lawyer. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you. It's really great to be here. And I really appreciated everything all of you were saying about animals, because these beings come into our lives and they bring unconditional love, unlike the relationships with people that seem to have some strings attached now and again.
Absolutely.
That's true. I'm sad to say that I lost my fur baby last year. So, I still feel the pain, even though it's been a year now. And I didn't have a little fur baby. I had a giant fur baby. So, I still miss him. And actually, I know you're a psychic, and this is a little bit off of the conversation that I was planning to have with you. I know that he is around. Is that possible?
Absolutely. And I'm glad that you brought that up. In my book, Never Letting Go, I discuss not only grief and how spirit contact is a means of healing from grief, but I also talk about animals. And animals do communicate in readings. It's not unusual for animals to come across from the other side. And it's been my experience that anything capable of the emotion of love is capable of spirit communication. So if you have a pet Burmese python, chances are it's not going to come through in the reading. I've communicated with dogs, cats, horses, birds, and even a bunny. A bunny came through one time, which was kind of cool. But, animals understand us on a level that we don't quite fully comprehend. And their bond with us goes a lot more than we provide food and shelter. They actually love us. Our scent, our emotions, our shift. I mean, a dog can tell the difference between being stumbled over and intentionally kicked. And let me tell you something. That takes a lot of comprehension for something to get to that point. So when I say that anything capable of love is capable of spirit communication, it is my firm belief that spirit communication is a love-based activity. And so that's why it is really important for that particular being to be capable of love. I mean, I was in Philadelphia at a book signing at Barnes & Noble, and there was this really tough guy, you know, Rocky Balboa, Indiana Jones guy sitting in the front row. And, he didn't look like the type of guy that usually comes to these spiritual and psychic events. And all of a sudden he raised his hand and he says, I want to talk to somebody. And immediately I felt this presence and I go, this isn't human. And it turned out to be, he was a special forces military police officer, and he had this dog who had passed, and the dog came through. And let me tell you something, the dog communicated more clearly than most human spirits did.
Wow.
To the point where the dog said, 3 a.m., I reacted faster than anybody could. And all of a sudden, when I said that, this cop started crying, and he said that we were chasing a suspect, and I got separated from all the other officers in the woods. It was about 3 in the morning, and all of a sudden the perpetrator jumped out from behind a tree, took me down, pulled a knife. He goes, the knife was headed right up my throat, and then suddenly he said, out of the dark, Ajax came, jumped, grabbed the guys by the arm with the, you know, that he had the knife in, pulled him off, and the dog took down the perpetrator. And it's
That's
like,
amazing.
Yeah, it was just amazing. Wow. I mean, and I was as surprised as anybody else. So I think it was really great the way you guys are talking about that. And the fact that your fur baby may have died a year ago, this is real grief. And that's what my book, Never Letting Go, is about. That's what my work as an attorney and as a psychic medium is about, is helping people cope with losses of loved ones, be they two-legged or four-legged. These are real losses and real pain. And I believe that spirit contact, communicating with the spirits of our loved ones, can help us cope with that loss.
I believe that.
Yeah.
I truly believe that. I also believe, you know, you not only find peace of mind with that, you also can have a closure that is a good closure for the heart, that knowing that the love or the situation, whatever it may be, you know, is still around you, can be resolved or has been resolved, or somebody is in a better place or looking out for you. So I'm 100% in agreement with you on that. That's amazing.
Mark, I have a question for you.
Sure.
About my, and then we'll move on, about my fur baby. And actually I had two, and one passed away 5 years previous. That particular one, I used to joke about it all the time that he truly loved me. He would stare at me all the time. He would follow me around. And when he suddenly got ill and passed away, I had dreams about him, but they were brightly colored. They were vivid. They were showing him in happy places, like his favorite spots, and he would just look at me, and he was happy. Do you believe that he was communicating with me to let me know that he was okay and that he was happy?
Yeah, first question, was this dog like a chow or about the size of a chow?
No, well, yeah.
Okay.
Big.
Now, you have two different animals, and I get one that's brown and one that's black. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, these animals are around you, and the one that stared at you, the way it was, that the darker one?
Well, they were both shepherds, but one was he was more of a Shiloh shepherd. He was silkier. He had more reddish-colored hair, reddish-black.
Okay, so that would be the brown one, and then there's the one that's darker with more black in it.
The dark one is the one that just died last year, yeah.
Okay, but the one that used to stare at you like it loved you, was that the darker one?
He was brown. Yeah, he was dark,
okay.
Brownish-dark. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because that dog really, really smart, really, really incisive, and that
he
dog
was smart.
Always felt very protective of you, and the dog loved you in an animal human type of love, not in some weird kind of way.
Yeah, I knew it.
Well, sure. And when you get a dream, and this is part of what I talk about, Never Letting Go. There's a chapter referred to as contact experiences, and it's important for us to be able to recognize when spirits are reaching out and contacting us. And one of the most popular ways for spirits to communicate with us is in the dream state. And you will know the difference between a dream and a visitation, because a visitation is vivid. You got the colors. It seemed real, and it was coherent. It has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And you actually felt the communication from the animal, as opposed to when you get these dreams that are very surrealistic and nonsensical, and, you know, if your dog came bouncing up on a pogo stick and then turned into Bozo the Clown, all right, that's that surreal dreamlike quality. But when the animal comes through and communicates directly, and it feels as if you are almost conscious and this is actually happening, there's a difference between that and a dream. So, yes, that is an actual contact experience, and they're very, very widespread and much more common than people are willing to admit.
What, Mark? You, being an attorney, and you've had a lot of high-profile cases. Do you use your gift a lot when you are, developing a case with a client? Do you see things that lead you to conclusion? How does your gift work with your career, I guess is what I'm asking.
When people come to me in my capacity as an attorney, I would like to say I don't read them, but it's my ability is so much part of me that it happens.
Right.
And I discuss a lot of that in Never Letting Go. But in the first chapter, I talk about jury selection. Jury selection is extremely important in a trial. And I'm a criminal defense lawyer. I was doing this one trial where my client was accused of battery. And it was kind of a big rednecky guy, and he got in a barroom brawl with another guy. So he wasn't predatorial. It was, you know, I live in Melbourne, Florida, so it was like redneck A got in a fight with redneck B, you know. But it wasn't like it was our one fight for the year in Melbourne, you know. And on this prospective jury panel, because the purpose of jury selection is to make sure that you get a fair and impartial jury. So before any evidence is taken, the attorneys get to ask jurors questions. And I was drawn to juror number 9. And this attractive woman, she had like an olive complexion. And I kept getting a strange feeling from her. And because this was a crime of violence, I knew I needed to ask her something. I also felt the presence of a female spirit close to her that was taking form to where I could perceive the spirit. And so I asked her, have you or has anyone in your family been the victim of a violent crime? And the tears start to come, and she started to shake. And she said, a year ago, my sister was in a foreign country when an escaped mental patient strangled her and dismembered her and threw her in a dumpster like she was garbage. And here I am. I mean, I'm standing in court, and I'm like, oh, my God, they didn't teach me in law school how to deal with this one. And everybody's looking at me, and she's crying, and my client's looking at me like, dude, what are you doing? And then I can feel this tightening around my throat, which indicates that, you know, the spirit had been strangled. And if you want to find out what happens, you're going to have to read Never Letting Go.
I'm never not going to read it. I'm going to, I mean, I think we all should. This is so fascinating. You know, just in trying to get to know you a little bit better and reading about you a little bit, I did come across where your parents recognized your psychic ability when you were very young and really respected this gift that you had. How did this begin? How did they recognize this in you, or how did you first recognize that this was going on around you?
Both of my parents had mediumistic ability. And it runs, it appears to be a hereditary trait. At least it is in my family, because my father, my father's sister, his mother, his grandmother. My mother, her grandmother, and then I've got cousins on that side. And my mom was like the mega psychic. I mean, she had the whole kit and caboodle. She could see the future. She could see spirits. She could look at people and tell you what was wrong with them physically. And so when I was about 4, I started talking to my friends, because I had these people around. I'd sit there and I'd talk to them. But the cool part is my parents could see who I was talking to. And they sat me down, and I'll never forget, my dad especially says, Mark, don't talk about this outside of the family, because people will think you're crazy. And he was very insistent about that. And my mother was very patient with me, and she said, just talk about it to us. I found out later in life that back in the 1950s, the early 1950s, my father's sister was forcibly institutionalized and subjected to electroshock therapy so that she would stop seeing spirits. And this woman, that is such a terrible tragedy, because she could see the future with crystal clear clarity, which is an amazing gift. And I mean, I could tell stories about her all night. But as recent ago as the 50s and 60s, people were persecuted for this. In the medieval era, if you joined the clergy, if you had these abilities and received visions of the Holy Spirit, you were declared a saint by the Catholic Church. But if you walked around medieval France saying, I see dead people, they would burn you at the stake for witchcraft. And we've been persecuted for centuries. Even to this day, I receive hate mail. I was the subject of attacks on a conservative talk show last week. And I don't have a problem with people doing that, because they're in a different spiritual level and part of their spiritual journey. But these things are real. All religions teach this, that your soul goes on beyond physical life. And why would it be unusual for us who are souls having a material world existence to be sensitive to the presence of other souls? I mean, it's simply logical. And I guess that's where, as an attorney, I look at it as, well, there's evidence to support this, and that's what an attorney does, and that's what I do as a medium, is I present evidence to people.
Well, let me ask you, what is the difference between being someone who feels they're either intuitive or they're psychic? Because I will tell you, there are a lot of times that I will, many times, this has been since I have been little, that I can actually see something happening by looking at something. And my parents had always said, I think you're psychic. I'm not psychic. Or I can see it in my head happening before it happens, or I believe it can happen, and then it does happen. Is that in being intuitive?
It's all of the above. The term psychic is very broad and encompassing. It's like saying the term lawyer. You can be a criminal offense lawyer, a contracts lawyer, probate lawyer, personal injury lawyer, family lawyer, so on and so forth. And everybody is capable of a psychic experience. That doesn't necessarily mean everyone is a psychic. And we all have the same physiological equipment. The pineal gland, which is in our brain, is a small pea-sized gland. I'm going to give you the Cliff Notes version on this. Anyway, there's been a lot of studies in the past couple years about this, and they believe that psychic activity may be controlled through this part of your brain because it enhances your brainwave frequency, which allows you to tune into frequencies around us. It is theorized by the great physicists from Einstein up to Stephen Hawking that everything that has happened, is happening, and will happen is going on simultaneously in an energetic vibration sense. So someone like yourself, you get a feeling, a premonition, an intuitive feeling. What you're actually doing is, see, we think time moves in one direction. You're born, you grow old, and you die. So we think it's like in a, you know, a line that goes from left to right. And it doesn't. It is like a continuum. So what you are doing is your brainwave frequency is tuning in to all this energy, and that's why you're able to see a forward or what we perceive as a future event or perhaps a past event and so on and so forth. I mean, I'm giving you a crash course because,
right,
you know, I study this like a science, but there is actual quantum physics and physiology and anatomy to support psychic and mediumistic abilities. This isn't hocus pocus or magic. This stuff is real, and it's only a matter of time before science proves it in the definitive sense.
Now, do you have to be with someone, or can you just kind of, being on the phone with the three of us and not even, you know, really knowing us, can you get a feel for a read on us in any way, or no?
Oh, absolutely, because it's all frequency. And people say, well, how can you do readings over the phone? Well, how is it that I'm talking to you? I'm in Florida. I'm not sure exactly where all of you guys are. And all of a sudden, my voice is, you're hearing it in real time. I mean, that's kind of miraculous, isn't it? Well, think about it. When we speak, air goes through our lungs, hits our vocal cords. We make sounds that if you didn't speak English, you'd hear like that. It would be this very garbled thing. It's until you learn to understand those vibration sequences, they become words. Words are therefore concepts, and then you can understand it. It's the same thing with a spirit. They're not speaking English or French or Chinese. What they're doing is they're vibrating frequency, and until you begin to understand what those vibrations mean, then it's all gobbledygook, and then once you do, then you begin to see clearly images, you hear things, and you experience emotions that they transmit. It's really very fascinating, and it's nothing to be scared of. Yeah.
It is. So if you're sitting here, and I know you've told Betty Ann a little bit about her fur baby, and this is Dee, and Lisa's on with us too. Can you get a feel for Lisa or I right now, other than I like to talk a lot?
Who had the white cat? Somebody had. I keep getting a white Persian cat. That cat keeps coming through. So I don't know if somebody.
I had one.
Well, no, oh. She has a. Lisa, you have your little white Bichon.
I had a white
you had a cat
Persian cat.
You did. Okay. See, it's all Betty Ann.
Okay. So yeah, because
her name was Minnie.
Yeah, because the cat keeps coming through, mm-hmm. and the person, I guess because we're talking about animals, the animals are all flooding through. What I get with this cat is not an annoying animal. I mean, this was pretty docile, pretty mm-hmm. calm, pretty copacetic. Not quite a lap cat. You know, some cats want to lay on your lap. This one feels more like she wanted to be near you as opposed to all over you. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So.
But I had her when I was kind of like late teens, early 20s.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because on the other side, you know, for them, maybe 10 or 15 or in other words, I have done readings for people and the person that communicated or one of the people that came through had been dead for 50 or 60 years. It doesn't
yeah.
matter how long they're on the other side because, once again, time is timeless when you're mm-hmm. in their state. But as far as getting a feel for everybody, sure. I'm conscious of the time because I know that that we're limited on time, and I certainly don't want to cut into Jacqueline Smith's time. And she was always my favorite Charlie's Angel. Hi, Jacqueline.
Oh,
But, yeah, I do.
Show? Quick, do you see success for our show? Do you see us, anything going on with our show?
Yeah, I do. You know, it's funny because I don't always like making comparisons, but this is like a more fun version of The View. And what I like about it, The View, it gets, you know, and I love The View, and I think the dynamic between the four and sometimes five women that are on there is really fascinating because you have people coming from a different perspective. But what I like about this is it's more uplifting, and it's more fun, and you guys are all have very different feels to you. And when I say feels, the vibration, the personalities are very different, and you're coming from different perspectives, but taken as a whole, it's very harmonious without being flippant. So I really think you guys are going to do extremely well and will continue to do so.
Where are you going to be next in visits? We are in South New Jersey. Where can we, other than, like I said, I'm going to go out and get your book because it's really much, much needed. There's things that, you know, I lost my father, you know, 2 years ago. I think it not only would help me, it would help my mother. I want to read this book. But where are you going to be maybe that we could, you know, come see you, connect with you?
Well, I was in Toms River, New Jersey, not all that long ago. I know. Well, I really want
to
go back because the reception there, I was a speaker at the Women's Expo. And it was, I think it was in February, because I did a New York City and New Jersey tour. And
New York City, Philly, New Jersey, were there?
Yeah, I was just in Philly, and then about actually 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, I was in Pittsburgh.
We could have visited you.
Well we're working on
girls.
Well, my publicist is working on more New York area because I really like going there. I know that I'm going to be in Colorado in November, and we're working on trips to Columbus, St. Louis, Naples, Florida, the whole Southwest. So there's a lot going on. If people want to find out what I'm doing, my website, neverlettinggo.com, same name as my book, Never Letting Go, you go there and go to my calendar of events. You can also like me on Facebook, and then because I always post what I'm doing. And I will be traveling around. I give a lot of lectures. I appear on a lot of radio shows like this one. And it's an honor to be out there and working with people. One of the most amazing things going on the tour of the country for Never Letting Go is meeting people from every walk of life, from, you know, Northeasterners to Midwesterners to Southerners to fundamentalist Christians to New Age people to Wiccans and so on and so forth. And the great equalizer.
I just found your page on Facebook.
I'm sorry?
I just found your page. I'm adding you as a friend.
Woohoo! Okay.
We all are.
Am I a friend? Wait, I might not be.
Well, if you go to my website, Never Letting Go, neverlettinggo.com, just click the like tab, that'll take you there. Unfortunately, the great equalizer for all of us is death. And at some point in our life, we're going to have to cope with the death of somebody that means the entire world to us. And it's horrible. And it doesn't matter who you are or what your background is. And that's the point of Never Letting Go. It's a guide on the journey through grief. It provides evidence of an afterlife. It will teach you how to recognize when your loved ones in spirit are around you. And it is healing because it brings messages of love and hope from the other side. And it is just such an honor to be able to facilitate connections for people to help them get through this. Your father who died was, there's a man that I'm feeling that's around me that at one point in his life was a very heavy smoker. Does this make sense to you?
Mm-hmm. It does.
Okay. And what I'm getting is that prior to his passing, it feels to me that he was growing thinner, and there was like a draining sensation going through my body, which means that he had a protracted illness. And I'm also getting a nauseated feeling in my stomach, which could have been part of the illness or could have been a treatment like chemo that he was on. Does this make
sense? You actually hit it right on the head. He was a heavy smoker, and he developed interstitial lung disease, and that's what he passed away from. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You hit it right on the head.
Now, what he wants you to know is, even though, and pardon my, I'll give you the Cliff Notes version, his passing was a blank in the blank, okay? Because your dad didn't pull punches. He was very direct, and he was very upfront. But what he wants you to know is that he got the opportunity to make everything right and to say goodbye. And he says, as excruciating and as painful as his passing was, and in his final days, his lucidity was being clouded by the medication. It was very difficult for him to maintain focus, and I get that he was kind of coming in and out of lucidity. And he wants you to know that when he passed, he was ready to go. And he looks back on his life, and he says, maybe there were times I should have made a right, maybe there's times I should have made a left, because I have no regrets. The people that loved me know I love them, and I love you. And he says, I love you forever. And there's something about white bread, you know, like Wonder Bread, and he's talking about the Wonder Bread and I guess the crust on the bread. Does this make any sense?
Perfect sense.
Okay. So he wants to acknowledge that because, you know, I can get up here and say, you know, the I love you messages. He's saying that, but now he's showing me white bread, Wonder Bread, and, like, cut the crust off, okay?
Makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he wants you to know that. What's the other thing is, he said when you were a little girl, all right, a lot of girls always had, you know, and boys had little sippy cups and things. He said they kind of had to put the brakes on you with the really sweet, fruity juices. he said that you were just like a sugar magnet, and they were, it was like, he said it was a funny, and the juice that you liked, I don't know if it was Hawaiian Punch, feels more like Hawaiian Punch, it was red. You had this thing for this really red, super sweet juice.
It was that, Hawaiian Punch.
Yeah, Hawaiian Punch. And mm-hmm. They said that, you know, at first it was cute, but then they were afraid that, you know, you were going to kind of OD on sugar. I'm seeing what looks like images of Halloween, so I'm feeling, and granted Halloween's a big deal for a lot of people, but I really feel there's a significance to the end part of October between you and your dad, and that was probably one of your favorite times or holidays.
It was huge. It was bigger than any other holiday.
And that's what he wants to acknowledge. So these are the pieces of evidence that he is bringing forth that he wants you to know. And he keeps showing me there's these little brown candies. They're like cubes. They're little squares. I think they're kind of caramel and chewy. And he's showing me those in particular. Does this make sense to you?
Everything is perfect, yes.
Okay.
You're amazing. Thank you so much.
That just
meant the world to me.
And I'm sorry. I can keep going, but I just want to say.
I know. We think you are so fabulous. We would love to have you on again.
Can you come on
and
spend a lot of time? Yeah.
We'll have you on a whole hour.
We'll have you on for a whole hour. We think you are so spectacular. We love you.
Thank you. God bless
you.
Not
only you,
I would love to.
He's so handsome.
Yeah.
hot.
You're handsome, too.
Oh, good Lord. Well, you know, I would love to come on again, and when I'm up in Jersey, I would love to do a show with you from the studio, and we could have people call in, and I'll do readings. I would love to do that.
Sounds amazing.
Okay.
Amazing.
Great.
Mark, how can we thank you? I can't begin, and we're never letting you go.
We're going to be in touch tomorrow.
Thank
you. Book another date.
Fantastic. You guys have a great show, and say hi to Jacqueline Smith for me.
Absolutely. Mark, you're amazing. Thank
Bye.
You
Thanks
so
much.
Much.
Bye.
Thank you
so much.
All right. God bless you.
Night.
Bye.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, we're going to take a very quick commercial break and be back with Jacqueline Smith, Detroit's Angel.
Yeah.
Woohoo.
Now back to Chit Chat Cafe on the Artist First World Radio Network.
Hi, everybody. We're back. Betty and Dee and I are acting like three little kids. We're all starstruck because we have the gorgeous Jacqueline Smith on with us now. Welcome, Jacqueline, to our show. This is
so
exciting.
Nice to be talking to you. Thanks for having me.
This is just so amazing.
It's fantastic. Fantastic to have you here. I think each and every one of us have followed your career. Everything you've been into, and we cannot be more honored to have you on the show this evening.
Well, it's an honor for me. Thank you. It's always important to touch base and with different people and at different times in your career and hear what they think and, you know, talk about what you're doing. So it's a nice opportunity for me. Very nice.
So tell us what you are doing. We all know about Charlie's Angels. We'll get to that. But tell us what you're doing now. We know,
well,
you know, you have a beautiful clothing line out, and what else are you doing?
Well, you know, my Kmart line is 27 years, so it's...
That's amazing.
You know, I launched that my apparel line 27 years ago, and now I have home also, so furniture and towels and sheets and bedspreads and all home accessories. So,
and they're gorgeous.
And that's sort of it's really a passion. And I think certainly Kmart, you always think, what you think about the business decisions you've made, and that was certainly an important one for me, and one that I'm just thrilled with, because it's really, I've gone the distance with a company that I truly adore, and that is Marley. I don't know if you know, but a portion of my sales go to breast cancer research. I'm a breast cancer survivor, so that's kind of important to me. So they're a morally conscious company, which I think is important today. So branding, you know, when I did it 27 years ago, no one was doing it. Today, everybody's branding or wants to brand. And I was under contract to Max Factor at the time, and they go, you know, it's not your customer. We don't want you to. But after the first meeting, I couldn't believe a line of clothes I saw in there at the time, and I said, this is just terrific. I, you know, I've always loved design, so, hey, you know, I'm going to do it. And it was the right thing. I now also have a line of fabrics with a company, Fabricut. It's for their offshoot trend. And, again, everything has such beautiful value to it. And then I have a line of wigs. And now, very close to my heart, is a skincare, which my husband, he's a pediatric heart surgeon, so he understands chemistry and how to, you know, develop. He looked at what I use on my skin and body and developed a line of skincare for me. So it's patterned after everything I, or all the products I've used over the years, and made them even better. So, you know, that's really a labor of love for him, and he did that for me, and it's just been terrific. So,
and it sounds like your labor of love extends itself out to so many other avenues, like
well,
you said.
I really think that's important. I think celebrities today, sometimes people listen to their voice and their words easily because they feel like they know them and they've seen them on a television show, and it's our chance to give back. So, you know, that's what I've tried to do with my branding, and also just giving great-looking clothes at affordable prices. You know,
oh,
the value is that's very important today because of the economy, and I think people are smart shoppers. They don't always want to spend a fortune, and you don't have to. It's really there if you...
Yeah, and it does look like that. You know, you are so stylish and so beautiful.
Gorgeous,
and
gorgeous.
I mean, beyond
stunning.
Gorgeous. But you can tell everything that you put thought into is a reflection of you.
Well, I think, you know, you do pattern things after what you love and what makes your life easier. So I think certainly my sportswear is how I like to dress. The home is my true passion. I really love home and decorating and, you know, moving things around in the home. So it is things that are close to my heart. They really are. And it's just been, my career has just been great because it's really gone the distance. And I think it's invigorating to keep taking on challenges, and certainly when you take on new things, the challenge is always there. Because
you know, I'm, and this is Dee. I'm so sure that when you think back about, you know, the start of your career to where it's taking you right now, if you were to think of one memory, and is there one in particular, whether it had been the start of your career or throughout, that you just sit there and you smile and you think, like, a wow moment. What was your wow moment?
Well, gosh, there's been a lot of wow moments. Certainly, Charlie's Angels was a wow moment, but I think...
Oh, that was my wow moment, too.
I mean, you know, it just changed our lives overnight. But I also, my career really started with, I did a Breck commercial, and a producer by the name of Glenn Larson saw me on that and put me on a McLeod, the love story of the season with Dennis Weaver, and I think he thought, oh my gosh, she's never done anything. What are we doing? This is not who I wanted to be working with. But because I was just had done hardly anything except dance and model, and you know, I said, oh, I want you to have somebody else, and he goes, no, mm-mm. And he brought in a director that was terrific, that worked with me, and that was sort of a wow moment because it was not only getting a starring role on The Cloud, it was meeting an actor who was so empathetic and, hey, rooting for you, you know? So that was kind of unusual, I think, because, you know, after you have your series, and Dennis Weaver's series, McLeod, was popular, I'm sure he had, you know, other actresses in mind at that time, but he was a wow, so it was great working with him. And Charlie's Angels was, you know, it was three girls who really got along great and cared about one another, and we set out to do that, and we had no concept of those what the ratings we would get and how the audience would react. And, you know, it hit a real large demographic from young to old, and, all, you know, men, women, every children. So, you know, that was kind of special. Those kind of things don't happen that often, that kind of success with a show.
So Jacqueline, this is Betty Ann, and each of us, we all had our favorite angel, and I myself, you were the person that I wanted to be.
Oh, thank you.
You were the most gorgeous angel, and I wanted to be like you and look like you. And I have to ask you, when you were Kelly Garrett, what was the most, what was your favorite episode, like, out of all of the episodes that you did?
Well, you know, the prison show when we were chained together was kind of everybody's favorite. But, I mean, if I'm thinking just acting-wise, you know, when you had the opportunity to sort of step out of the Barbie doll and get into some scenes with more depth. It was a show where they shot me full of heroin, and then there was another one where I was shot and I lose my memory. I mean, those kinds sort of give you an opportunity to be challenged in a different way, because the concept was really three girls on, you know, on the screen at all times. And as you know, we, you know, it was to have fun and escapism, and so every now and then we got a show where we could, you know, really get our teeth into it. But the prison show, we sort of, at that point, we knew we had a hit.
Right.
I mean, we knew that, you know, the producers were over the moon, and we were really having fun by then. You know, it was... The scheduling was very hard, and we worked long hours, and we did the show in 7 days, and I don't know, maybe today I think they have a little longer, but we, you know, you see a lot of ensemble pieces. That was ensemble in a way, but not, because they wanted us in every scene together.
Did you do your own stunts, or did you have stunt doubles?
Well, we had stunt doubles, but we did a lot of them, too. I mean, you know, I was pretty... I think we were all very adept at that, you know. We like to do our own car, you know, speeding in the car. We like to... You know, I was a dancer. Farrah was a tennis player. Kate was a skier. You know, we could do it. So, but they didn't let us take... you know, chances where we could really hurt ourselves, but so we had stunt doubles. But I enjoyed doing all that.
And you know, I think anything that you've touched has been spectacular. Your portrayal as Jacqueline Kennedy was absolutely stunning.
Well, I appreciate. I think that really is my favorite. Movie, miniseries, I mean, it really wasn't a miniseries, but I think that was my favorite because part of our history, I admired her, I still admire her,
right.
And, you know, the monologue at the end was so, I mean, you just read it and it moves you, so that was pretty thrilling. It was daunting at first to play her because she was so familiar, especially pictorially, so, you know, how do you bring justice? How do you, you know, capture her essence But once you got into it, once I got going, I was just loving it because the history, the research, things, people would come and tell me stories, and, you know, I was fascinated with her. So it was really an honor to play her.
Oh, and we were, I mean, honored to have you, you know, portray that part. I mean, and even your, you know, the lead character in Florence Nightingale.
Florence, yeah, that was fun because we shot in England, and I had Gaston at that time. I didn't have Spencer Marguerite yet. But, you know, we just, not only did I have fun shooting in all those amazing locations, but, you know, I had Gaston with me in London, and, you know, we just shot in spectacular homes and all around the countryside. So, and Timothy Dalton was in that, and it was thrilling to work with him. Wonderful English actors I had the opportunity to work with. So,
and anything that we've ever seen you in or read about you, the one thing that you always put to the forefront was that your family came first.
Absolutely.
And I think more women could relate to you because of that.
Well, that is, yeah, number one in my life, always has been, always will be. And I've been fortunate that I have the greatest. And growing up, I had the greatest. And family, that sense of family was there from a little girl, you know. So I think, you know, in this business, it's great to come with that. It just grounds you. It makes you safe and secure. And I just had the best. And now I have a great family. And, you know, that sort of sense of what's important goes on. I had great, great teachers with my parents, you know, great examples is what I mean.
How many children do you have?
I have two. I have a son and a daughter, Gaston and Spencer Marguerite.
Mm-hmm.
And they're terrific. They're grown, but...
Are they married yet? Or?
No, they're not married, so I'm waiting for grandchildren, but we're not there yet.
You're gorgeous. I mean, I'm not just saying that. Anybody sees your pictures, you're gorgeous. What are your beauty secrets? Like, do you take good care of? Have you always taken care of your skin? Or?
You know, I have, but I'm not a slave to it, but I have. I have particular things I like to use. That's why, you know, my husband developed my skin care. And, you know, I'm a believer in retinol for the skin, and he's added in, say, for my night cream, he's added in hyaluronic acid and peptides, all these things. I think, you know, it should be simple, but you should care for your skin because they're, you know, just the environment today and, you know, what we do, you know, with the UV and the UVA and the UVA, all that affects your skin. So I think it's important to wear a day cream with a sunblock. And I love body cream. I do. I'm pretty religious with that. I don't, you know, my skin just feels better. I believe in an eye cream. Day cream, night cream.
Do you use a special neck cream?
We are developing a neck cream, and they go, well, you know, people have said, well, is the neck cream really the difference? And it is, because the pores on your neck are different, so the cream, it needs to be a different consistency, and I don't think a neck cream should be really too oily because, you know, it gets in your hair and, you know, it's just not necessary. So we are in the process of developing that, and a serum will come out soon. I do have a scrub, and I have a body cream that is infused with my favorite scents, which are sort of powdery with vanilla and musk. And,
where can we get that?
Well, if you go to Jacqueline Smith Beauty or jacquelinesmith.com, you know, it will lead you to the Jacqueline Smith Beauty website, and you can buy it online.
And your website is gorgeous.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely stunning.
I have a lot of experts working on that. You know, I think I've just done some, there'll be some new things, because I just shot something with all my five dogs, and I look at them, and I'm like, I can't believe how good they are in these pictures, so I can't
wait
to get
them. They were so good, and they're so cute, and you have poodles.
I have two poodles, a standard and a toy, and then I have two French bulldogs, which are really the children's, and a King Charles Spaniel. But we did just shoot a new picture. I don't think that's on there yet. It was for a magazine.
Oh, well, my little French bulldog comes to you. We give out hockey masks when people enter the room.
Oh, they're so cute, though. I mean, we have one that's from the Ukraine. She has one blue eye, one brown eye. I mean, she's a character.
Aww.
Yeah, so I love dogs run the house. I love them.
And all of our houses, too, Jacqueline, let me tell you. They do.
Oh, boy.
We love the fuzzy family.
Yeah, yes. They lower our blood pressure, and they make us live longer. And they're just good. They just love us, you know, unconditionally. So, I don't know if I have any pictures of mine on the website right now. They change it all the time, but there will be a new picture coming out.
They're gorgeous.
Thank you.
Lisa,
so, have you been Kmart shoppers, girls?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, that's good to hear. Have you tried my cashmere sweaters? You'll have to at Christmas to bring them out.
Yes.
And the price is right. And they're
luscious.
They really are. They really, and the prices, they're great gifts. So I was just curious if you had tried those.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to check them out. Are they in the store? Oh, yes, Jacqueline. This is Betty Ann. We have a listener that just asked if we would ask you.
Okay.
If you have read The 50 Shades of Grey.
Okay. You know what? I have it. I started it, and I have been so busy that I haven't really gotten into it, but I'm afraid everybody's going to talk about it so much before I get back to it, and I just say, don't tell me. So, I know it's sort of, if you really get into it, you don't put it down, but so I have it, but I haven't read it, really.
That sounds just like me. It's here. The trilogy has been here, and we've all been so busy, I haven't picked it up yet.
Yeah, and, when you are busy, you start to read at night, and boom, you're asleep. So I like to read in the daytime, kind of. So, but I'll get to it.
What's your favorite vacation spot?
My favorite vacation spot. Oh, wow. Well, right now, Santa Barbara, we have a home there that's in Summerlin, and we just finished it, and it's peaceful, it's a haven, it's all my mother and daddy's things are there, I inherited those, and it's just beautiful. I love New York, I just came back from New York because I love theater, and I started my life there, my independent life there, my career there, so it holds a special spot, but I'm a homebody. I love home. And right now, Santa Barbara, or Summerlin, as I say, is our second home. And that's just like a departure from stress or rushing or going. And it's just beautiful. So that's probably my favorite spot.
And what can we look forward to? What's coming next?
Well, I'm reading things now and thinking of maybe developing another fragrance. So there's always things happening, and I'm busy and going, and hopefully Cheryl Ladd and I are thinking of doing a movie together. And, about Charlie's, we mustn't forget her because she was just, such a great replacement, and that was hard shoes to fill. So, when they ask me, it's always, that first season when the impact happened, but really when you think, gosh, all the credit should be similar credit to Cheryl, who is a dear friend of mine.
I mean, the casting was brilliant.
Well, it was, Aaron Spelling had a real handle on the pulse of what people wanted to
see. He really did.
So it was,
he was brilliant.
Was a great go. I mean, I'm just happy I was a part of it.
Amazing, amazing career. Amazing future.
Well,
amazing.
Thank you. I'm grateful, and I think that's, what we have to be today. And be in the moment and enjoy.
It's true, and we're so very thankful that on a celebrity status that there is a woman like you. A woman like you who does as I say, my word for you, stunning, stunning work.
Well,
thank you. Who gives back through her developments.
Well,
I don't even know, you know, I never take it for granted how much we thank you for everything you bring to us.
Well, that's so kind. That's so nice to hear, and it's that I was able to talk to
all of
you.
It goes above and beyond just sitting down and, you know, watching a series or watching you portray a part. You really have touched the heart and the soul of what you do every day, and you bring that to others through your work and through your creations.
Well, that's very nice to hear. Thank you. I'm glad we got to talk. I like to hear that. It lifts you up, so it's good.
Were also my favorite angel, so there, Betty Ann.
Well,
good.
You were
my favorite angel.
I think there was someone for everyone. There was one of us for everyone. We were so different.
That's right. I wanted to be you. I wanted to look like you. I mean, I'm a brunette, so of course, you know, you were the person that I wanted to be as an angel. But Jacqueline, we would love to meet you in person someday. Next time you're in New York, would it be possible for us to come up and maybe possibly have lunch or dinner together?
Well, let's think about that. That sounds fun.
I mean, we would just love that.
Well, I'm there.
Chit-chat all night.
I, you know, I've just come back, but I would love it. So, you know, usually when I'm doing interviews, and I will be publicizing my skincare line, so that'll probably be on the website. And you know, we'll have to keep in touch like that. That would be fun.
Now, give our listeners your website one more time.
Faces to your name. So I would love to do that.
And I really do think, I actually have used your skincare. It's fantastic.
Oh, good. I didn't know. That's great. I'm glad.
Yeah, no, it absolutely, I'm one of those, you know, skin junkies that, you know, when, and it really, it's luxurious. It works.
Well, I think it works.
Kept it simple.
And I think, did you like the packaging, which I think is so beautiful?
The packaging is gorgeous.
Yeah.
And again,
really
it reflects not only the product, but it also, if you look at the packaging, you're drawn to it because it is beautiful packaging, which in turn, the content is going to give you beautiful skin. And it is. It's simple, but it's powerful.
Well, I love it, but I think everybody finds, I mean, it's, you know, there's no animal testing, and it's pure. I mean, and I am a believer that retinol is really the only thing, you know, that diminishes lines. And so I've been a believer in that for a long time. Retinol, Retin-A, all, you know, it's...
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad. I'm glad to hear you like it. That's great.
Oh, it's.
I need to try that.
Yeah,
well, I should be trying that.
You may borrow mine, but you may not have it.
Okay.
Well, that's good.
I'll have to get some of my own.
That is good. I'm glad that someone's tried it there. So, you know.
Oh.
If we meet, I'll bring some. I'll bring some.
Well, we will have.
Lovely.
That would be fantastic. Lisa, what else would you like to ask Jacqueline? I know we have such precious moments left with her, and we're taking up so much of her time. What else, Lisa?
I think you covered it all. I mean, we could just be here for another 2 hours.
Yeah,
we could.
Well, it's been fun, and next time it'll be in person.
Yeah, hopefully it'll be terrific.
Exactly.
You're not bad.
We'll be there.
Lovely. You're so ladylike and classy.
Oh, well, I enjoyed it, and I'm always open to meeting you, so perhaps next trip.
And
yes.
We'd love to have you back on the show with anything that's in development right now and going out there. You know, we would love to have you back on the show to share that with our listeners, because they, trust me when I tell you, they love you as much as we do, and that... You know, it's just amazing that you took the time to be with us this evening. So we don't know where to begin to thank you, but we do invite you. Please consider coming back on with
us
again.
I'll look forward to it. I will.
It's fantastic.
Okay.
And at that, I say good night, Jackie.
You have a good one.
Thank you.
We'll talk again soon, okay?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Good night, Jackie.
Good luck.
Thank you so much.
Nice to meet you.
Bye.
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 Bye. She's gorgeous.
Beautiful.
Wow.
Well, we have to end the show. It's time to go.
I don't want to.
I don't either.
I don't want to. Call Jacqueline back.
She was fabulous.
We'll have one, Mark Anthony, who was terrific as well.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Amazing. We'll get our listeners ready to do, we'll have Jacqueline back. We'll do an hour with Mark Anthony. And there's just great stuff to come.
Yep. So we're going to have to say goodnight to everyone. Good night, girls. It has been fun.
Good night.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you for
kisses for everybody.
Kisses.
Love you all.
Thank you for joining us for this Chit Chat Cafe.
Good night.
Where talk is chic.